Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Artist First World Radio Network, home of the best new music you've never heard and home of the best new talk shows you need to hear. Please don't forget to visit our archives page at www.artistfirst.com, where you can hear all our past shows for free and on demand. You are tuning in to Chit Chat Cafe Live. This show airs every Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. For more information about this show and to listen to past shows for free, please visit artistfirst.com/chitchat.htm. And don't forget to follow Artist First on Twitter. You can find us under the Twitter handle @artist_first. And now here are your hosts of Chit Chat Cafe Live, Lisa and Nancy.
Hi, everyone. This is Nancy calling in from St. Paul, Minnesota. We're so excited tonight to have some great stars with us on Chit Chat Cafe Live. We're celebrating the 30th anniversary of the iconic movie E.T. Extraterrestrial. And we're so honored and excited to chat with actress Dee Wallace about all of her acting and her new book, Bright Light. Later, we're going to be joined by model, actor, Fabio. Lisa and Betty Ann, isn't this a great, exciting night?
This is cool. This is super cool.
Don't you remember just being mesmerized by E.T.?
I love E.T.
Oh, my God. It's like a classic.
We all loved it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, we're excited tonight. So without further ado, Lisa's going to introduce.
Yeah, well, let's get started. Yeah, we got so much excitement going on here. We don't want to wait. We would like to introduce Dee Wallace. She played Mary, the iconic mother in the movie E.T. And she was also, she's an author. She's been in 135 films. And she also was in the movie 10. And we all know that E.T. was directed by Steven Spielberg, so that's pretty cool. So this is really an honor, Dee. Thank you so much for joining us. Welcome to our show.
Well, thanks, girls. It's a slumber party, isn't it?
It is. It is. you're hanging out with the girls tonight. What was it like to play Mary in the movie E.T.? I mean, it's such a classic. Everybody has seen it, and it's just so heartwarming. Was that role a gift or a setback? Were you typecast?
My God, was I typecast. Haven't you talked? Couldn't you tell for the next 30 years I've played mothers in one way? I've played every single kind of mother, crazy mothers and vulnerable mothers and wacko mothers and killer mothers. And but, you know, it's my Wizard of Oz. When they lower me in the grave, they're going to be playing the theme song from E.T., you know? So you could do worse than having a Wizard of Oz in your career, right?
Absolutely. I mean, and it's one of those movies that, I mean, people still watch over and over and over again. I mean, everybody knows, even people that were born after watch it. So.
Oh, heck yes. I've got a whole crop of new fans.
That's cool. That's really cool.
Well, Dee, you've worked with so many fabulous stars. Drew Barrymore in E.T., Jason Lee from My Name is Earl, and Michael J. Fox from The Frighteners. Of all the people that you worked with, what was it like working with them?
Oh, gosh. Gosh, girls, you're asking some tough ones tonight. Well, I adore Michael J. Fox. He's sweet. He's professional. He's beautiful. I didn't actually work with Jason, and I would love to have worked with him, but I didn't happen to be in any of the scenes that he was in on My Name is Earl. So I can't really comment, but I can tell you that the entire company on My Name is Earl was so lovely and so much fun, and they all absolutely adored him. So, and of course, Drew was, what, she was 4 years old, 5 years old when I did E.T. with her. So she was this precocious little kid that everybody knew was probably going to produce and direct when she got older. And, she was kind of like my daughter, you know, that I felt like I needed to take care of and protect on the set.
And you did a great job with that.
We loved your acting.
We loved your acting. You did a great job.
Thank you so much.
Well, hi, Dee. This is Betty Ann.
Hi, Betty
How
Ann.
How are you tonight?
I'm great.
To talk to you. is a thrill. I have a question, and it has to do with the enormous amount of films that you've done. Out of all the films that you've done, and I'm seeing a number of 135, do you have a favorite film? Like, is there one that was your ultimate favorite?
Yeah, that would have to be Cujo.
Okay.
Because I just am really, really, really proud of my work in Cujo. I mean, I'm pretty proud of my work in most of my big films. But Cujo, I just felt, you know, stretched me so far. I until you get a role like that, you just never know how far you can stretch emotionally, you know. And I look at it to this day and I go, yeah, I'm really proud of the work in that film. It was the hardest thing I've ever done, I can tell you that. They treated me for exhaustion afterwards. And if I never see a Pinto again in my life, it'll be too soon.
That was the scariest movie ever.
Well, thank you.
Did you meet Stephen King when you were filming Cujo?
Yes, he actually came down to the set a couple of days. Sweet man. So nice.
Not scary?
And very, very giving toward me. He often mentions on his website and interviews that he thinks I should have gotten the Academy Award for that. So,
I agree.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you so much.
Are you afraid of dogs after that?
Oh, no. No, no. I actually do a lot of work with rescue organizations for dogs, and I have a beautiful white shepherd, and all my animals are rescue animals. Those dogs were so well trained. There were five of them, and they were all trained to go after toys, but they were trained to go after those toys by digging, you know, which would make them claw and bark and get all excited. But we actually had to tie their tails down with fish wire because they would, you know, it was all a big game for them, so they would be wagging their tails while they were trying to attack me, and that didn't quite work on screen. So.
Yeah.
But no, they were all beautifully trained, sweet dogs, and Carl Miller did an amazing, amazing job with the training on that film.
Well, that's good to know. Next time I see that movie, I'm going to remember that.
I think there's actually one. Yeah, there's actually one shot where you actually see the dog wagging his tail, but it seemed to kind of work in that shot, so they left it in there.
Oh, okay. Okay. Great.
This is Lisa again. When you arrived in Hollywood, did you secure jobs right away? Can you talk about some of the highlights from your acting career? Well, obviously Cujo, you just said, but...
Well, you know, I did, and I had never been out of Kansas. I'm from Kansas City, Kansas. And I went to New York for 2 years and did a lot of commercials, a lot of industrial shows because I'm a trained dancer. And stayed there for about 2 years and then came out to Hollywood. And within the time that I left Kansas and starred in E.T. was a little over 5 years, which is really unheard of in my business to go, you know, it's meteoric almost. And I really attribute that, and I talk a lot about this in my book, Bright Light. I really attribute a lot of that to naivete. And I was always trained that kind of the universe would show up for me and take care of me. And I went to New York with $1,000 thinking that would probably last me a year. And so the universe just took me to a lot of coffee shops and casting places. And, I mean, I did the work, too, you know. I beat the streets, but I would meet a boy at an audition, and he would take me to a party, and there would be really big agents there, and they would like me, and they would sign me. You know, things just kind of were delivered to me. Even down to my very first day in New York, I had written Hal Prince, who's one of the largest producers in New York, this letter, because at the high school that I was teaching at, in the library, we got the New York Times, and there was this whole story about how Hal Prince was looking for an unknown to star in A Little Night Music. And I wrote him this very cheesy letter and sent him this very cheesy picture. And 3 weeks later, his assistant called me and said, Mr. Prince would like to fly you to New York to audition. And, of course, being the good old Kansas honest girl that I was, I said, oh, that's so great. I'd love to audition, but you tell him he doesn't have to buy me a ticket. I already have one. So the day I land in New York City, I send everything that I own in a taxi cab to an apartment that I had not seen yet. It all got there. It was all delivered, and I made my way down to Rockefeller Center. And, of course, this is after, like, a, you know, four-hour plane ride and the whole thing, and got down to the last five girls with the acting and the dancing. And then they said, all right, ladies, Mr. Prince would like to hear you sing. And I went, oh, I didn't know we had to sing. And there was this slight pause, and she says, well, dear, it is a musical. So that's my Dorothy story, right, of my first day in Kansas. I sang Happy Birthday in a key that probably was not good for my voice to Hal Prince. Obviously didn't get it, but made some girlfriends that day and got a lot of singing teachers to study with, and the rest is kind of history.
That is a fun story. And Prince is from Minnesota. That's where I live.
Oh, really? Well, he's done well for the name of Minnesota, hasn't he?
He has. Well, I love that story. Now, with all of your film and TV experience, how did you become a spiritual teacher and healer?
Well, that's a good question. I was always brought up in a semi-religious but very loving spiritual home. We were extremely poor. My dad was an alcoholic who ultimately committed suicide. And yet I just always had this bright light. My daddy called me his little bright light, and that's one of the reasons I named my book Bright Light. You know, through all my dad's alcoholism and suicide, and then I got hurt a lot in the business, as we all, you know, get hurt and challenged in life. But then when I was shooting The Frighteners, my husband, my beloved Christopher of 18 years, died suddenly of a heart attack. And,
aww,
you know, I just fell to my knees and I said, I don't want to be this way anymore. I don't want to be unhappy. I don't want to be a victim. I want my light back, and I want a way we can heal ourselves. And man, ask and you receive, girls, you know. I started getting all this information, started hearing all this information, started taking it into my acting studio, of which I had about 80 ongoing students. And we developed the information, the work. I had worked with muscle testing a lot of my life, which led me to learn how to use a pendulum. One of my doctors used a pendulum, and I took it into my acting studio, and it became very apparent that our lives were changing, our careers were changing, our health was changing, all for the better. And then, you know, the students wanted me to do work for their families, and the families wanted me to do work for their friends, and here we are 18 years later, and I'm doing private healing sessions all across the world every day. I've done three of them today, for example. Tokyo, England, Australia, Canada, all over the United States, Sweden, Switzerland. It's just become an amazing passion of mine. I have two talk shows that are free call-in shows that people can call in and get help with. And I just am able to talk about how to create your life in a really next-door girl kind of way that people can get it, you know? I don't think creating your life needs to be particularly reverent. I think you can have a lot of fun with it and need to have a lot of fun with it, actually. Joy and happiness and excitement are a big part of creation, and the universe really responds to those vibrations. And also, you know, we're just, none of us are ever taught to say what we really want. For example, people will say to me, well, I want more abundance in my life. And I said, well, what does that mean? Well, you know, I want more abundance. I said, yeah, what does that word mean? And finally, you know, I get them to say, well, I want more money. I said, well, why didn't you just say that in the first place? Well, because it's not okay to say you want money. Well, the universe can only give you what you're asking for, right? So why were we taught that it's not all right to ask for money? We all like money. We know we like money. We know life is easier with money. And we know that money has no power other than the power we give it. And our consciousness is what creates whatever the money does. You can be Bill Gates and do incredible things with your money as your consciousness directs you, and you can be Wall Street and not do such great things with your money. But it's not the money that's making the decision, is it? You know? So I really encourage people to say what they want and be happy, because you're not going to create the life that you want if you're not happy. People go, well, how can I be happy if I don't have the life you want? And I say, the only way you can have the life you want is to be happy. So I would find some way, something to be happy about, which is why, you know, there's so much talk about gratitude. Because when you take time to count your blessings and feel happy and go, there's something, even small as it might be in my life, the butterfly going by, or the fact that I woke up this morning and have something to eat, I can find something to be in gratitude about. And the universe and your body and your success all respond to that vibration. I'll shut up now so you can ask another question.
Well, Jay, I heard an interview that you gave where you spoke about the secret. What is the secret? Is that what you're speaking about? Is that what you call the secret?
Well, you know, I saw the secret, and I appreciate the secret because I think it created the words and opened the door for the greater consciousness for a multitude of people to start talking about what creating your life is really about. The one thing I kind of take umbrage with the secret is it, again, puts the emphasis on what you're going to get. If you do this, you'll get the car. If you do that, you'll get the house. And what I'm saying to people is the reason you want to create yourself is so you're happy. And as soon as you get happy, then yes, the stuff might come, but whether the stuff comes or not, you're still happy. And people are doing, interested in the creation process, I think, oftentimes for the wrong intention. When we know that creating ourselves is the most important creation that we have, then we create ourselves as the happiness and the balance, the health, the harmony, right? And then the world responds to us. I mean, who doesn't want to be with that energy instead of energy that's angry and pissed off and a victim? We want to be lifted up by other energy. And so when you create yourself the way you want to be, then you attract people that mirror and harmonize with the creation of you. You attract jobs that harmonize and with the creation of you. You attract success because it harmonizes with who you are. But the first and foremost creation that everybody should address is the creation of themselves. And that's, you know, Bright Light is very entertaining. It's all my stories about the directors and how I got started and all the great actors that I've worked with and everything. But it's also a story of how I came in, as we all do, as a bright light. I lost that light. I stopped creating me because of people that hurt me, because of false beliefs that I had, because of limitations that were given to me genetically, you name it, whatever it is. We stop creating ourselves when the world challenges us. And we start making ourselves smaller because we think that's the way to stay safe. When, in essence, the only way to stay safe is to keep creating who you are. And if somebody says no to you, you look away from them and go, okay, I'll go create over here. But create me I will, and I choose to create me as happiness in this life because, you know, guys, life's just too long. Life's too long to be a sorry, sad victim.
I agree.
How did you meet your husband, Christopher Stone? And tell us about your relationship with him and how it impacted you when he died.
Well, Christopher and I were soulmates. I don't even know how do you describe the love of your life, you know, the person that opened your eyes and opened your heart. And we strengthened each other. People used to say to me, oh, my God, how do you live together, you work together, you're together all the time. And it worked for us because we empowered each other. And so, you know, he's the father of my only child, my daughter, Gabrielle. And I was away shooting the Frighteners when he had a heart attack and flew back, and they did an angioplasty. It appeared that he was just fine and was coming home, and I flew back to finish filming, and 4 days later, a blood clot hit his heart, and he was gone, and my baby girl found him. And so I flew back across half the world again. We did his service. We had a party for him because Christopher was never one for the serious, solemn stuff. And we used to talk, both of us, that, you know, we were going to have parties for each other, and it was going to be a celebration, right? A celebration of life. And that's what it was. It was a total shock to my system. I don't know how I picked my baby up, picked my nanny up, and we all flew back together, and I finished filming. And I don't think it really hit me until I walked back through this door. And that's the night I fell on my knees and said, I want a way we can heal ourselves. And that was the beginning. And I don't doubt that he was instrumental in bringing all this to me. He was my first metaphysical teacher. My mother and my father were both very much creative, my creative teachers. And I certainly had a background of God growing up, but Chris was my first metaphysical teacher. And we used to go to a class together once a week where we studied a philosophy called conceptology, which was one of the original what you think and what you hold your focus on is how you create your life philosophies. So it was a huge hole. It was a devastating hole in my life, and yet I walk my talk, and I think no matter what life gives you, it is your responsibility to create yourself again.
Well, Dee, speaking of creating yourself again, I love your book, Bright Light.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I really enjoyed all your little stories that you put in there about your acting and with different actors. You made me laugh when you were on the scene of 10, and Dudley Moore wanted to goof around with you, and the director yelled, "Action." Tell us about that.
Oh, well, Dudley was just a joy. He was genuine. He was sweet. He was down to earth. But, you know, I was very serious and always trying to get my energy together and get it focused and everything. And he was just joking around. And right before the scene where we walk into the bedroom, he reaches over and plants this big one right on me, right? And we hear action and we stumble backwards into the set and fall over the thing backward. I often said, thank God I'm a dancer, you know, and my body worked for me, because it was just... And then this, working with Dudley, you never knew where he was going to go. You sort of knew the script, and then you just followed him and held on, right? And
exactly.
So when we finished the scene, there was this big silence because nobody spoke until Blake Edwards made some commentary from the set that was next door to us. He was watching it on a monitor. And so we finished the scene, and we heard cut, and there was this long pause, and he said, well, I don't know who the hell wrote it, but we're going to print it. So, of course, he'd written it, but we had played around and had so much beautiful fun with it that and every scene was like that. Every moment with Dudley was like that. He was my champion, you know, because this was my first big role, and I was definitely not sure of myself. So he kind of was my big brother that took care of me on there.
Well, that was a great movie.
Thank you.
Well, Dee, this has been a pleasure. This has just been such a pleasure to have you on the air with us. Would you come back and join us another time?
Absolutely, girls. Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
And tell our listeners how they can get your book.
Well, Barnes & Noble has it. You can get it on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, lots of smaller bookstores. And if you want me to put my name on it to you and personalize it, you can go to my website. It's a fabulous website anyway. You guys are going to want to check it out. IamDWallace.com. You can order my book there and tell me how you'd like me to sign it, and we'll get it out to you.
Terrific. Well, thank you.
We have
so
all
much
that
again,
information on our Chit Chat Cafe Live website, so our listeners can look at you on the website and click and order. And Dee, would you join us again? We have many more fun things to talk about.
You bet. I will be here when you call, girls.
We will.
We would love
thank
that.
Thank you so much.
And tell Fabio I would love to be there with him, too.
You want to stay on and talk to him? You can stay on.
No, darling.
Yeah,
no.
You can.
No, I'm going to dinner, so thank you so much. But you give him a wink for me, okay?
I will.
We will.
All right, love you. Bye.
Love you. Bye.
Thanks.
Bye.
Love you. Bye-bye.
How sweet is she? What a dog.
Oh, fabulous. You know, and her book is full of those little stories, like Dudley Moore kissing her just before the director yells, action.
Yeah, well. Well, we're
so we're waiting for Fabio to join us. And girls, what's new with both of you? I know that everybody is enjoying this mild winter.
Yep, we're lucky with that. Thank God.
Yeah,
here in Minnesota.
Well,
yeah, me too. But here in Minnesota, it was 23 and people were saying, oh, it's warm. So... it'll be fun to have Fabio talk about nice warm weather. I'm sure he's been to beaches.
Oh, I'm telling you.
Oh, he's here, Fabio. How cool.
Yay. Hey, guys. Yeah. How you doing?
We're great. Dee Wallace was just on and says to say hello to you.
Oh, I'm telling you, you're talking about warm weather. Today in Los Angeles was 88 degrees. Can you believe it? 88.
Oh, well, in Minnesota today, it was 35, and we said it's so warm with what sweatshirts on.
That's funny. No, I'm telling you, we've been having unbelievable weather. Unbelievable, you know? We feel sorry for you guys.
Well, we'll have to come out there to meet you sometime and have pictures taken.
Oh, definitely. You should definitely come to California. It's beautiful, you know? It's better for you to come here than for me to come over there.
We'll come there. We're in. We'll be there. The three girls, the Chit Chat girls will be coming to see you.
Hey, you're more than welcome anytime.
Good. Cool.
Well, I would like to introduce you, Fabio. I'm Betty Ann.
Hi, Betty. How are you doing?
Hi. Good. How are you? I'd like to introduce you to our listeners. I'm absolutely thrilled and honored to welcome you as our guest tonight on Chit Chat Cafe Live.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me.
We're so excited, and we're thrilled to have you join us. Our listeners are thrilled. I'd like to tell them a little bit about you. You're an international fashion model. Awesome.
Well, let me tell you, I couldn't be in a better company with, you know, all these beautiful women, you know. I mean, you know, come on.
We're blushing. Well, welcome.
Thank you.
So
thank
glad
you.
That you're with us.
Oh, I'm telling you, it's my pleasure.
Can you tell us, where are you originally from?
What's that?
Where are you originally from?
Oh, originally from Italy, Milan.
Okay.
But, I came to the state when I was 19 years old. You know, I always, the first time I came to the state, I was about 14 years old. And I went on a trip with my father to Houston and Dallas, Texas. And soon I got off the plane, I was like, I felt home. I felt like, I felt like I always belonged to this country, you know. And in my business, you know, I've always been around the world, and I'm telling you, there is no country better than America, than United States. And people sometimes in this country, they don't realize how lucky they are. You know, when you go around the world and you see the world and you see what the world have to offer as the world, as different countries. I mean, there is nothing come close to United States. You know, perfection doesn't exist. You know, I think there is only one God, and all the rest is human. But this country is the closest to perfection than you can get on this planet. So you know, I always tell people, you know, don't complain so much about this country, because this country is the really only free country in the world, and you should really appreciate what this country offers. That's why it's called, the American dream. It's not called the European dream or the Japanese dream or the Chinese dream. It's called the American dream because it's true. It's this country. If you really believe in yourself, you can express yourself, and you will be able to do whatever you want to do.
Well, I can tell you that we are glad that you are in our country.
I'm telling you, I wouldn't leave any place else. You know?
And you belong to us, so you cannot go anywhere else.
Oh, I'm telling you, I feel that. I totally feel that. And, you know, it's really sad today to see, you know, the country so divided, because, you know, it's such a beautiful country, and, you know, it's the only country left in the world where, you know, capitalism works. You know, I mean, they try many different kind of garments around the world and never worked. And, you know, I think it's everybody's jealous and envious of this country, because also, you know, a lot of people in this country, they feel, oh, you know, other people in the other country, they don't like us. Well, nobody likes to be on the bottom. Everybody likes to be on top, you know. And unfortunately, when you're on top, you know, the other country don't like that. You know, it's like, I remember, I mean, when you study history, when the Romans, they had the Romans Empire, everybody used to hate the Romans, you know?
Mm-hmm.
When the English, they had their own empire, you know, everybody used to hate the English, including people in this country, you know? And, you know, unfortunately, when you are on top, you know, other country, they're jealous, you know, they're envious.
Mm-hmm.
But there's nothing to be, you know, a lot of people, they feel ashamed in this country. It's like, because other countries don't like us, it's no big deal. I mean, it's a part of the, you know, human nature. You know, when you're on top, nobody else, you know, they nobody like to be on the bottom. Okay, and and so, you know, it's like, well, you know, if you're on top, that's mean, I guess you're doing something right. So don't feel sorry. Don't feel don't have a guilt trip, because you're on top of the world.
I agree with everything you're saying. Absolutely.
Yeah, totally.
I have a very important question to ask you.
Yes.
How long have you had your long hair?
Oh, on and off, many, many years. On and off, many, many years. So I had long hair when I was a kid, and after I cut it, I modeled for a while with short hair. I modeled for a while with long hair. I cut it again, and after I let it grow again. And I've been modeling, you know, ever since with long hair. But, you know, I went back on and off.
Mm-hmm. How do you keep yourself so fit? I mean, what is your physical routine?
It's very simple. You know, most of the people, a lot of people know, some people don't know, but in my life, I always understood since I was a kid that unfortunately God give you only one body, and it's the body you're born, it's the body you're going to die with. So, you know, every 5 years, so maybe you can change, every 5 or 10 years you can change your car, but you can't change your body. So I always see the body like a bank. You know, you can't keep withdrawing from your bank account, because otherwise, you know, eventually you're going to run out of money. And I see, you know, it's, I believe in put a lot of deposit in your bank, because if you take care of yourself, of your body eventually, later in age, will take care of you. And I work out as much as I can, you know, between, you know, when I have time, between works. I always eat in a very healthy way. I'm a big, big believer in protein. And also, you know, I want to tell you why I have my own company now called Healthy Planet Nutrition. And, you know, it's amazing, because people sometimes, you know, we get bombarded by a lot of marketing. And, you know, and it's all sell, you know, when we have science behind to tell you what's really, it's good and what is not good for our body. And I tell you, it's very simple, you know, and I keep it simple, because our body is simple. It's made of two different things, water and protein. So keep that in mind, okay? Every single cell in your body regenerates because of protein, okay? They're the building blocks for every single cell in your body to regenerate. So it doesn't matter if it's your hair, your nails, your muscle, your bone, your tendon, your organs, everything, every single cell in your body regenerates because of protein. So it's very simple. Like you go to the gas station and you have a choice between, 83, 87, 91, or 10, you know, but there is also race fuel. If you put race fuel in your car will run forever. Your car will never break down, because race fuel doesn't have engine buildups. Burns very, you know, fast. The same, every single protein. So don't let anybody fool you, you know, to tell you, you know, oh, soy protein is such a great protein for you. Every single scientist in the world will tell you that actually soy protein, it's a very low quality protein. As a matter of fact, you know, it's just a little over a potato. So it doesn't have really, you know, much as a protein. You know, remember one thing, the best thing is always to put the highest quality protein in your body, because, like I told you before, every single cell in your body regenerates because of protein. So there is, it's very simple math, okay, so nobody can fool you, and you have all the vegetable protein, they go a bit from 50 all the way to 74, okay, that's just kind of low. For a protein. And after you have, chicken, fish, beef, those are around, you know, 78, 79, 80, okay? That's the potency of the protein. And after, you know, of course you have egg whites, and you have the best protein Mother Nature give you is real whey. And, you know, for the longest time in this country, they told you, they sold you half of the truth. They told you whey is the best protein for your body. And it's true. Every single scientist in the world will tell you whey protein is the best protein for your body. But what they didn't tell you, then the whey they sell you in this country, 99% of whey is not real whey. It's byproduct cheese whey. So it's byproduct whey. And that is good. That's garbage. It doesn't do anything to your body. You see, the protein of whey, it's is the highest quality protein Mother Nature give you. But the only problem, the protein whey protein, it's very, very sensitive to heat. So you can, use a heating process because you kill it. And when you kill it, it's not good for you. And you see, byproduct cheese whey come from, cheese. And it's been so the milk has been cooked and recooked and overheated so many times that that protein is gone, you know. And and normally they put all the sugar and chemical. And so when you drink all these protein shakes, actually you feel like bloated, and actually your body is start retaining water. Now, if you really put the real whey, you come from fresh raw milk, and you take it out with the cold process, so you keep the molecule of whey intact. So when you drink it, your body gets all the benefit, and there is nothing come close to the real whey protein. Biological value is 104. That is the highest potency of any protein on a planet. So what are the benefits? You will have healthier skin, you will have healthier hair, healthier nails. Every single organs in your body is going to regenerate better. Your bones are going to be more dense. You're going to burn more fat naturally. Actually, your metabolism will be even increased. And the beauty about this, there is all science behind, and it's not a marketing sell. That's the beauty. That's why I always like, nutrition and science. But for the longest time, they always told you, a lot of lies. So that's why I decided to have my own company. I started, import real whey from few countries around the world. They don't use pesticides and fertilizers. So the fresh raw milk, it's totally free of chemical, and that is very important. And you see, it's funny because it always surprised me. Around the world, everybody now is into like. Can you hear for a second? My dog, they're going crazy.
Oh my! Yeah, I hear them.
Can you hear it?
Yeah.
Hey, you guys. Hey. Give me just a second.
Okay.
We, everyone listening to Chit Chat Cafe Live, we are all dog friendly here at the cafe.
Yeah. Shows are loud.
He's got a great voice.
Where my dogs are barking their heads off.
I have to tell you, my face is beet red.
Talking to Fabio. How cool is this? This is like the coolest thing ever. I'm going to scream.
Exactly. Now, Lisa, I thought it was your Rocky for a minute.
I'm so sorry, guys, but
No, we're dog friendly at the cafe.
Oh, good, Fabio. Good. I love dogs. Love dogs.
Fabio, do you have Great Danes?
No, I used to. Not anymore.
Okay.
I have Rottweilers now.
Oh, okay, Roddy.
Yeah, they're great. They're, Roddy, they're very like, a lot of people they go like, oh, Roddy is a mean dog. No. Roddy, they're like any other dogs. It depends on the owner. It's the owner. It's dogs. They always take from the owner personality. So if you want, you can make even a Chihuahua mean. You know what I mean?
It's like, I have one.
Yeah, exactly. As a matter of fact, you can ask any, any shelters. Most of the people working in the shelter, they get beat more by Chihuahua than any other dog. And it's funny because, and so there is a misconception of Rottweiler. They always think he's a mean dog. They're extremely intelligent. Extremely intelligent dog, and they've been around for over 2,000 years, and they're amazing. They're amazing dogs, But unfortunately, there are people they train Rottweiler to be mean.
Yeah, well, there's no bad dogs. There's just bad dog owners.
Exactly. Right, exactly. Yeah. Any dog can be mean, or any dog can be good.
Yeah. Well, Fabio.
Yes.
I have a very important question.
Yes.
What is it like to be one of the sexiest men in the world?
It's I don't think about that. It's just a media thing, and
I know, but you really are.
Thank you.
You're kind of like the ideal beautiful man that women would love to.
Let me tell you something. I guess it's vice versa. I love women so much, then I guess they feel it.
Yeah.
they know how much I love women. But you know, that's hey, nobody's perfect. You know, I don't do any drugs. I don't even drink. But you know, that's my only vice. What can I say?
So you've well,
that's a good vice.
It's a good vice, right?
You've never been married.
Yes.
No, never been married. No, it's you know, it's I think you know, I believe in that. I'm still, you know, I still believe marriage should be only once for the rest of your life. So mm-hmm. if you're not you know, 200% sure, you know, you should never get married, you know.
Right.
And
right.
Unfortunately, you know, today people, they married so easily. I mean, you know, they go, okay, if it doesn't work, they're going to divorce. And it's not supposed to be in that way. I believe in if you marry, it should be for life. And so before you take that step, you know, you should think about a few thousand times, you know.
Tell us about the book covers. You've been on a lot of romance novel covers.
Yeah, yeah, that was fun. That was fun. It was a part of when I came in this country, I started doing some of the big campaign like The Gap, Levi's, and all of a sudden, you know, I started getting my agency for the model in New York. They started sending me to all these auditions and for, you know, taking pictures. And they're actually, they're regular pictures, you know. So for the longest time, I never really knew what a book cover looked like because coming from Europe, we didn't have romance novels.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I was doing all this modeling, there was just, you know, a whole bunch of pictures with different models.
Mm-hmm.
And after, because, you know, they were painting the background, they had to also paint the pictures. And I didn't, I'm telling you, I didn't actually know about book covers until a year later when I was down in a club in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
And about three girls, they approached me and they told me I look exactly like the guys on the guy on their books. And I was like, you know what, that's a good pickup line. I never heard that before. You know, I thought it was total, you know, total pickup line. And they go like, no, no, really, you look like the guy in on the cover of our books. And as a matter of fact, they even asked me, you know, how long are you going to stay at this club? And I said, well, I just got here. And they told me, we live very, very close to the club. We're going to go home, pick some of those books, and show it to you. And they came back with, you know, I remember like three or four books, and they showed it to me, and I go like, oh, yeah, I remember this. So that was really the first time then I saw what, you know, a romance novel, I mean, book cover looked like.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're very different. I mean, you take just modeling pictures, so normally you have like a blue background or a white background and just a regular picture.
Nancy, do you have anything to ask Fabio?
Oh, a lot.
That's
I have all of those books. I own them, and I will not sell them or get rid of them. I own all of those books.
Oh, it's funny.
Yeah.
No, you know, it's funny because now, I mean, they're popular, you know, all over the world, but when I came in this country, it was pretty much just the United States.
Well, they were fabulous book covers.
Oh, thank you.
With all of your modeling that you've done,
yeah.
Do you have a favorite beach that you've been to?
Well, you know, I tell you, there are so many beautiful places around the world, like, Tahiti, Bora Bora, Maldives. Those there are unbelievable islands. Yeah, I would say probably Maldives and Bora Bora.
And what was it like when you were doing the modeling? Did you have someone there, the same person all the time to do your hair?
No, no. You know, I'm very easygoing. So whatever they hire, you know, it's most of the time was always, you know, the photographer hiring, you know, the hair guy or the hair girl, you know. And sometimes we'll go like in different places around the world, and we'll hire somebody locally, you know. And sometimes they will bring somebody from the state.
Well, that's exciting. Well, we all loved you in the commercials. I can't believe it's not butter.
Oh,
was
well,
that fun?
That was fun. That was a lot of fun.
I like the butter spray the best.
Oh. It's so fun. Yeah, it's funny. It's good memories, and I had a great run. I mean, I did that commercial for like 17 years. And, you know,
oh,
it was
that long? My God.
Yeah,
I didn't
that long,
like that.
Actually. Yeah, it was it was great. You know, they hired me, and you know, went very well. I increased a lot of the sales. I brought the sales from $20 million to $400 million in a little over a year. So they were using me over and over and over for, you know, like 15 years. And after 15 years, they say, Fabio, you know, we did, it was great. It was a great ride. It was like a family, and we had a lot of fun. And, you know, it's time to go in a separate way. And I was like, well, that's great. You know what I mean? I can do other stuff. And after 2 years, they came back, and I guess the sale, they dropped from $400 million. They lost, I think, like almost $200 million in sales. So they hired me for 2 more years to bring up the sales again.
Wow!
And that was it. But you know, I love doing commercials. You know, because they're fun. They're people. They're great in the industry, and you know, it's almost like. Shooting a small movie, in a couple of days you're over, you're done, and it's great. It's a really a lot of fun. You know,
Fabio, I wanted to ask you about some of the movies that you've been in.
Right,
there's been many. One in particular, the movie is called Death Becomes Her.
Uh huh.
What was it like to work with Meryl Streep?
She's great.
Hoyne.
I mean, yeah, they're great.
All of them. Great. Bruce Willis, Isabella Rossellini.
They're great, great people. They're really nice people. Isabella Rossellini, she's a sweetheart. I mean, she's super nice, super down to earth. And even Meryl Streep, you know, they're very nice people. And it was fun. It was fun. Actually, you know, I was supposed to have a way bigger part, but I couldn't do it because I was already booked on another job before they booked me, so I was trying to do both jobs, and so I couldn't be on set as much as they want me, but I had a lot of fun, you know.
It looked like a lot of fun.
it is, it was a lot of fun, you know. I had to put the bathroom and Isabella Rossellini coming out naked from the pool, so, come on.
Yeah, that's a good
job. What a tough job, huh?
Yeah. Well, what projects are you working on presently? Like, I heard that there's a possibility of a reality show in the works.
They offer me pretty much every single reality show you can possibly imagine. And, you know, I'm not crazy about reality show. And especially now, then, you know, I just finished, I mean, last summer I did all the new campaign for Old Spice, for Procter & Gamble. And that was running around the entire summer. And they did very, very well. As a matter of fact, all my commercials, they got downloaded by the internet almost 200 million times.
Oh, wow. Oh, 200 million and two. We watched it today.
Oh, really? Wow. Wow. Yeah, it was amazing because, the advertising agency, they sent me the statistic, like the 10 best commercials in 150 countries around the world, and it was amazing, the download between, you know, me and the second one was like 100 and something like 101 million different downloads. So it was pretty good, and they're very happy. Procter & Gamble people are very happy. And but now then I have also, you know, my own company, Healthy Planet Nutrition. I've been doing, you know, a lot of work for my company. We actually, I don't know if you know, but I'm in Whole Food with my products. So
really?
Whole Food, Whole Food,
cool.
Whole Food, you see, when I present my line, you see, I came out with the purest protein, the purest glutamine, purest colostrum, and I'm telling you, it's the best thing you can put in your body, and this stuff is 100% natural. Like I was telling you before, everybody around the world is into, you know, active probiotic, active acidophilus, and so why everybody's drinking, you know, that way, that protein, because actually come from the same source. So why, you know, you want something active, and actually you take the best out of, you know, fresh raw milk with the whey protein, and you kill it. You know, nothing give you more benefit than the purest and biological active whey. So when I started the company, I went to Whole Food, and Whole Food, you know, I have a lot of doctors and scientists behind the company and backing up. So we went and we did the presentation at Whole Food, and Whole Food, they were like, wow, Fabio, you know, it's like all the protein and a lot of the product we have, you know, can compare to this product. So a week later, I got my first order right away, and they put me in every single Whole Food in California, Arizona, Hawaii, Nevada, Oregon, and Washington. And now eventually they're going to move me all over the country. And, I mean, we've been doing incredible. I mean, I've been doing appearances, and people really, you know, once they try the products, they can really feel a major difference in their life. Because, you know, what the beauty about this is not a sell, it's all the science come behind. You know, it's Mother Nature at its best. So what you have to do, just take Mother Nature in its best, and you will get all the benefit. Like I said before, you know, if you know, then, you know, for to run your car, you have to put, you know, gasoline, and to do, you know, oil and filter change. You know, it's the same. If your body is made of water and protein, because every single cell regenerates because of protein, I mean, you keep your body hydrated and you give the highest quality protein available on the market, and, you know, it's, your body is going to thank you forever. And simple as that. You don't need to be a scientist or a doctor to understand that. So when somebody give you really the highest quality protein, it's nothing better. Nothing better for your body. It's almost like putting race fuel in your car. Your car doesn't need to be a race car. Soon you put race fuel in your car will start acting like a race car. Simple as that.
Well, Fabio, we cannot wait to get to Whole Foods, and tonight I've got my romance novels ready. We're hoping you join us again on Chit Chat Cafe Live.
Oh, definitely. I mean, you guys are, you know, they're great. I mean, you know, maybe next time I'm in your area, I should stop by.
That'd be great.
Oh.
You
Lisa
know,
and Betty Ann are in New Jersey. I'm Nancy. I'm in Minnesota.
Oh, wow. So I have to go.
You well, know, we could all meet in New York. We'll all
wow.
meet in New York.
Hey, New York, I go pretty often in, to New York.
Well, you let us know when you're going to be there.
Oh, definitely, for sure. You know, also because now with the, you know, the Healthy Planet Nutrition is taking out big time. So I'm traveling all over the country. And
well, good.
I'm definitely going to be in New York, that's for sure.
Oh, well, let us know. We'll meet you. That'll
oh,
be
definitely.
So cool.
Definitely.
We would love to. We're going to go and try your products, and we look forward to meeting you in New York City.
Definitely. Definitely. Hey, guys, thank you again for having me. You know, it was
you're
a pleasure.
And we
have anytime you want.
We do have your link on our Chit Chat Cafe Live website for all of our listeners to find your information.
Oh, perfect. Beautiful.
Good.
Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you, Fabio.
Okay, take care.
Bye,
Fabio. Have a good night. And I'm so sorry for the weather.
Oh. Well, it'll be nice when we see you in New York City.
I'm going to bring the 88 degree with me, okay?
Good.
I promise you.
Good night.
Okay, guys, have a good night.
Bye.
Okay,
Fabio.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Well, we're thanking everyone for joining us tonight. We're thanking our sponsors, Laura Geller Makeup, Intimacy Bras, St. Croix Orthopedics. We're giving a special thank you to Corey King, our producer. You can enjoy the Corey King Show live every Wednesday night, 7 p.m. on Artists First.
I'd like to thank our guests tonight, Dee Wallace and Fabio. I'm inviting everybody to join to listen to our archives. Just go on our website, click down to the date that you'd like to listen, and just click on the date and enjoy some of our past shows. We have Dr. Jennifer Berman, Priscilla Presley, a bunch of cool people. So just scroll down and check it out.
We're inviting everyone to join us again every Thursday night here on Artists First. I'm going to leave you with some trivia from E.T. It did win 4 Academy Awards, by the way. Reese's Pieces sales soared 85% after the release of E.T. Doesn't that sound delicious? So good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.